But again, that's the same when you close your eyes and you see yourself having the success that some parts of you know you want, and you can just feel the flicker, it feels as if you, and yeah, you almost cannot go there in your mind. Then you know, and that is where the friction comes when you said the schizophrenic part, because some part of you knows that you want and can do this, and another part is just saying no. No. And that is so super uncomfortable. And really, because you start like, who am I? Like, am I this voice or am I this voice? And you are both. But I'm like, if you have the feeling that you're meant for more, if you have the feeling that someone's big is waiting for you, it's because it's waiting for you. And the only one it's waiting for is you to start to work on yourself, your nervous system, regulation, success, failure, all these things you start to work with, and then it will come.
What's up, sisters? This is Nat, and welcome back to the Yugo Sisters podcast. As you can hear, I'm speaking English, and that's because we have an incredible woman today, and she's from Denmark. Her name is Stina, and I am so proud to kick off this year with her because she is one of a kind. I think every woman needs a little bit of Stina in her life. Stina is an entrepreneur and business coach. She quit her corporate job after a while because she just figured out, okay, this isn't what I want to do. I don't have the work-life or life-work balance that I want. So she started her own business. And what I love about Stina is that, to me, she is living proof that you can do it all in a different way, in a way that suits you. Because yes, she's an entrepreneur and she has her own, actually two businesses. She's a mom, she's a wife, she's a friend, she's a daughter, she's a sister to all kinds of women out there, and she's living the life that she wanted, and she's working on it every day. And it's so admirable to see her. It's also so calming to see it on Instagram, but also work with her and see it's not just show on Instagram, it's actually working out for her, because she is so authentic. She shows her ups and downs, the realities of being an entrepreneur, because as she says in this podcast, it's not just a job, it's a lifestyle that we choose for ourselves. So even if you're not an entrepreneur, this is a beautiful, really remarkable episode to kickstart the year, because we're gonna talk about setting goals, being true to yourself, overcoming your shadows, understanding why we're stuck in these ruts, how we can get more clear on what we want. So if you have started your year and you're still kind of like, ugh, where am I going with this? What's happening? I'm not really clear on things, or you set goals like, I wanna be healthy this year. which is something I like to do as well, and it's very vague. This is the perfect episode for you, because Stina not only proves that we women can do anything we want, but also how we can achieve it. So we're really gonna go into the how today. So let me know how you feel. If you want to know about Stina's program, which I've done, the On program, it started yesterday, but you can still join. It's this beautiful program that she has with other women where you get connected for an entire year and you look at your goals, you work at your goals, you challenge your goals every month. And I think it's so incredible. It helped me a lot 2 years ago. And also working with her one-on-one was insanely mind-blowing. It was so simple, but it was just so effective. So everything you need to know about Stina, as always, in our show notes. And now I wish you so much fun with this incredible woman. This is Stina for you. Yes, Stina. Woo! I'm so stoked for this podcast. Oh my God.
Me too.
God, honestly, like, I've had the privilege of working with you on two different occasions, your On program, which is also happening this year, which is so exciting. Then we also got to work one-on-one, which was incredible, because just in a couple of sessions, I was able to shift my money mindset in so many different ways. I love following you on Instagram. First of all, your aesthetics are insane. I'm always like, how does she do this? Like, does she have someone from Vogue sitting next to her who's just like helping her how to get all this like mystical stuff going? I just love it. I think just watching also how you've established your brand and created everything. It's so inspiring, and it motivates me to work on my brand all the time. in so many different ways, and especially finding my way with it. So for today, for the new year, I'm so excited that we're kicking it off with you, because yeah, for me, you're really like this role model of how you can do business differently, how you can do a work-life balance differently, and actually maybe do it life-work balance. And I find it incredible because you also, you're a mom as well. You have a partner. There's so much going on in your life. So you actually know all of the different variations of life and working and being a solopreneur and being a woman and being the partner and being the mom. And I mean, you know, Instagram is always reality. It seems like you have found a way to get everything kind of sorted in, because I hear a lot of the things like, oh my God, when you're a mom, like forget working, forget doing anything for yourself. It's basically like you give birth and you're just like a solo mom, even though you have a partner. And you know, and I just always believed like, no, there has to be a different way. And you've proven that to me in also such a very feminine way, which I love about you. So I'm really, really excited to kick off the year with you, because we're going to talk about micro habits, about manifesting. We're going to talk about life work balance and all of the jazz, because yeah, people need to know who you are. They need to work with you. I just, yeah. So welcome to the
sisterhood. Thank you. Can you call me every morning?
Yeah.
I recorded this just to listen to it every morning. I'm so glad to be on board. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh my God. Yes, of course. So that everyone who's listening knows who you are, maybe we can just drop in with the, you know, most easy question. Who are you?
Yeah, my name is Stine, and I am the founder of AI Business Consulting. I came from corporate many, many years in a leadership position, and which was amazing in many ways. Taught me a lot about business and how to do business, but also taught me about the dark side of business and how incredibly hard and tough it can be. And even though I wouldn't recognize it, at one point I could just sense that my nervous system was wrecked. So from one day to another, I quit the job. Wow. And was unemployed for a whole year. I didn't know what to do. Then I started my first company, which is Ola Luna Moon Journal. And then shortly after, I started AI Business Consulting, because I had gotten into dealing with more of creative women, women who had a passion, wanted to bring their passion to life. And they had a lot of good ideas. They had a lot of passion for their projects, but they didn't really know how to put it together into a real business. So a hobby,
yes,
but making money out of it, making it profitable, putting structure to it, also without draining themselves. They didn't really know that. So here I could really see like not a hole in the market, but definitely a way where I could use both my competencies from corporate, but also my own spiritual journey, my way of seeing business, my way of wanting to help other women. I could really combine those two. And then I created AI Business Consulting. Today, I'm a mom of a two and a half year old Hector, so a toddler, and a happy wife to my husband, Christian. And we live in the countryside with dogs. And yeah,
my God,
that was in short.
Yeah. I think that's also what pulled me towards you, especially the part of like, you want to build up a business, but it feels like a hobby. And you're kind of just like giving, and not really knowing especially how to receive what you want to receive. And I think that was one of the biggest things when I started the On program 2 years ago with you. My God, 2 years. Where I really like understood where you had this beautiful structure of like working your dreams, really figuring out what you want to do, where you want to go, being truthful to yourself, and also going into like the shadow sides, like where you don't want to look. And I think you had such an interesting structure. And I think my first question would also be, how did you figure all of this out for yourself, coming from a corporate job where obviously there are specific structures given? You kind of sit in that structure, so you don't need to worry about like other areas like marketing or sales, you're just like kind of like in your bubble because you know everyone else is doing their job, and all of a sudden you're a solopreneur and you do everything. That's like a lot of teaching yourself. So how did you start and not get fully overwhelmed by it?
I think the first thing I did was take the best from corporate. So and on program is really a, how can you say, birth it from performance management that we have in corporate. But I was like, okay, when you are a solo entrepreneur, you need to look at more things. So instead only of looking at business and setting goals and putting deadlines and achieving them, I wanted to be the full entrepreneurial life. Meaning, so it's both in professional, it's personal, it's body, mind, spirit, and it's learning and development. And that was in order to catch all of it about what it would say to be an entrepreneur, because it is not just doing business. It is not, you have the whole you in it also, because often with the solo entrepreneurs, female solo entrepreneurs, they are the business. They are what carries it. So yes, they can have passion, they can have all these things, but without the structure, it sort of fades out. It doesn't really get the momentum running. So that was, I think, my own program was actually what helped me start. And I run it for a whole year alone, testing it out, trying to see how it would function and if it was something that I could deliver as an offering. So it was actually my own way of starting and becoming aware of all the tasks, the offerings, the to-dos, but also how to balance. So it was actually my own way into entrepreneurial life that I then created an offering about helping other female entrepreneurs do the same. Because it is not just, as you also say, suddenly you're a salesperson, you're the HR for yourself. You are the one to tell yourself, now it's time to close down the laptop. How do you do that again? And if you're not conscious about all these things you want to achieve, then how should you know? Then it's so easy just to be almost drowning in this big life and feel overwhelmed about the whole entrepreneurial lifestyle, because it is a lifestyle. It's not just a job. And I think everyone who has tried it, they can recognize, right? So it really becomes the whole life, and that's also why I'm taking this whole thing into consideration, and that is what I have been doing for myself. And it has been a steep learning curve. Let me just say that even with my background, I had the business knowledge, I had the structure, I had the planning, I had the goal setting, I had all these things. But what I didn't have was the mindset about getting up again and again and again, working on your shadows. Where do you block yourself? Where is your mindset limiting your possibilities? All those things, which was in the beginning, I thought they would be like 20% of the entrepreneurial journey. And now I'm more like, okay, 50 at least. So the structure is the easy part. The goal setting is the easy part. Getting it done, knowing why you're not doing it if you are not, that's the hard part.
And I think that's like a beautiful bridge to also coming into this new year, because a lot of people, because in Germany we have this thing called Rauhnächte.
Yeah, I know you have that. It's such a beautiful thing. That's the thing between Christmas and New Year's, or
Yeah,
it's
these like
12 days,
13
12 nights,
days.
13 nights. Yeah. Beautiful thing. We
And
don't
you
have
kind of
that.
like go through, it's supposed to be like 12 days. Every day is for one of the months
Month.
of the previous year.
The preview. Okay.
And then you just kind of reflect, you know, and it can be anything of like going through your phone, checking the photos, remembering, oh, I met this person and I went here, and going through your business as well if you want to, which is also kind of cool. But then also figuring out, oh, this didn't work out, this worked out, but also in relationships and friendships and everything. And then on the 13th day, it's kind of like the release into the new year and like the wishes. And people often do. You can call it wishes, you can call it manifestations. So on every day of these 13 days, you have a wish. And at the end, on the 13th day, you just take all the wishes and you pull one, and the rest you burn. And the ones that you burn, you're kind of like releasing into the universe. And the one you pull is the one you really need to take care of, which was hilarious for me this year. I was like, okay. This is something I really need to do. And it was exactly what you said, is like work on the mindset again, again, again.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they like do the whole like Rauhnächte thing, but also a lot of people sit down and they're like, okay, next year this needs to change, this needs to change, this needs to change. And especially, I don't know how your 2025 was, but like, my God, was that a rock and roll show? Like, it was a roller coaster, everything was happening. I think it was the biggest year of growth I've ever experienced in every aspect of life, but also not willingly. It was kind of like, look here, do this, try that now. You need to. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I think like the biggest thing, I know that for myself, when I start with like New Year's resolutions, I set either these like really vague goals, where it's like something like, this year, I
I want
just
to be
really,
healthy.
yes, that's exactly what I just thought about, just wanted to be healthy. And it's like, what the fuck does that even
Mean
mean? You know? Or I want to make more money. What does that mean?
exactly.
I want to have routines, or what, you know, it's so vague.
Yes.
And sometimes they're also, what I also learned with you when we worked on the money mindset is that they're so big, so that when we don't immediately achieve them, it's just kind of like, okay, I'll just leave it. And then we get anxiety and just back out. And a lot of people, they just step out of their New Year's resolutions or their goal setting so easily, sometimes like mid-January. And I would love to talk to you about this as well, because you are, as I remember, a big fan of micro habits, setting small goals and realistic goals, something I love about you, nervous system friendly goals, which is also important. And I think a lot of people don't even know what that means. But also, you're doing this manifestation challenge and you're taking us on the ride with you on Instagram as well about it. So maybe we could talk a little bit about like, what does goal setting mean for you? How do you set goals or realistic goals that are nervous system friendly? Why is it so important that the nervous system is on board with everything? And what does manifestation have to do with it?
Yes. So you are so right. What people normally do is they set big goals in the beginning of January and they are too big and too vague, meaning they fail almost immediately and then they give themselves shame for it. And then they are so afraid, because many people are so afraid of failure that they would do anything to avoid it, even setting goals that would actually bring them somewhere. So the first thing we just need to be so clear on: failure is learning. It's not the dangerous to fail. It is okay. Everyone does it. Even everyone who is super successful, they have failed and failed and failed. First of all, befriend failure, because then you will not stop. Failure is a friend, you learn from it. Then what I do is I actually start big and then I go small. So I start with a year vision. Like, at the end of this year, where in my like wildest dreams and fantasy would I see myself? When I have that, I know very well my nervous system is not ready for that yet. So I break it down into smaller goals, actionable goals, something I can do immediately. So let's say I want to be, and I'm doing like these quotation marks, like I want to become healthy. Like, first of all, what does that mean? What does that mean? Is it you want to eat better? You want to exercise more? And even if that, what does that mean? What does it mean eating better? Is it your breakfast you want to change? Is it your lunch? Is it, or I want to exercise? Is it for walks you're talking about? Weightlifting? Like, be so specific. And then when you are so specific on what you want, then you can start to plot it in for the month. Yes. So I take the full year, and you also know that at first I actually break it down into quarters, and then I break it down into months, and then I break it down into weeks. So every week, looking at my goals, saying, what small step can I take this week? This makes me practice. It makes me achieve small things, which builds my muscle of trust to myself that I can do this. So instead of failing first week, second week, third week, I can accomplish it, and then I can give myself this, yay, I did it. Yeah, I can actually do this. So this is the way I set goals, and I don't know how people not do it, how they achieve anything without goal setting, but we are all different and we all work different. But for me, it's so important to have the big vision out there And then to break it down, because if I don't know where I'm heading, I don't know which steps I'm going to take. So that is why the big vision first, and then breaking it down into smaller pieces that you can actually take step by step. And again, as you said, with the nervous system, you can wish for, your brain can wish for all kinds of things: a big house, the perfect husband or boyfriend, money, $1 million, whatever. But if you close your eyes and you take this big vision and you feel, and you'll have to imagine it, if you can feel that it's not possible, or you have this, like, it doesn't feel good for you to imagine yourself in this perfect or amazing position, then you know your nervous system is not ready for it. Not yet. That doesn't mean you will not get it, but it means that you need to either stretch your nervous system to get there, or you have to break it down into smaller goals.
That was like something that really helped me, because I remember when you and I started working on the money mindset with me, I really have to say, I had been like brainwashed by Instagram to that point, with all this like hustle babe mentality and boss babe, and you need to make the 10K in your first month as a solopreneur, and it's possible, and you don't actually need to work. And I was like, at one point, I was like, there's so many narratives that go this way, so it has to be possible. Why isn't it possible for me? Why am I constantly failing? And what am I doing wrong? I know I'm smart. Like, what's going on? Is this just not for me? And the nervous system thing really changed everything for me. And I think that's also why I chose to work with you, because I had talked to a couple of like specific money coaches, and they were like, oh, you just need structure. And I was like, it's not about the structure. I can have so much structure as I want, but if I don't feel comfortable with receiving, then the structure is not going to help me.
And they asking, always want, also asking, receiving, but also asking for it. So if you don't feel comfortable with your nervous system asking for the money that you actually deserve, and you know you deserve, then how will you get them? So
it's so weird.
Yeah, it is so weird. Yeah, it is. So it is. That is why when we break it, down into smaller things, and where we can feel like, okay, this feels safe for me, then knowing that this change, you know, so this feels safe now, but I will go up to the thing that I know I'm worth, or I know where I want to be. But you just practice in small steps, receiving and asking for it.
Yeah, which is so interesting also, because I feel like us women, we're not used to receiving. We're not used to asking for things. And I remember I told you that I feel schizophrenic sometimes, because on the one hand, I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like, I'm not earning anything. And then it's like, no, I'm like a version of Taylor Swift and Beyonce combined. Like, I can do anything. And the women I work with, a lot of them also have that feeling. It might not be Beyonce or Taylor Swift, but they have that feeling of, I can do anything I want and everything. But on the other hand, I feel like an absolute loser. And I find that very interesting with us women, because just before we started recording, we just talked about like how incredible moms are, and like how they manage to do everything. Their energy levels are just like out of this world. And still we women doubt ourselves all the time. And what I've been noticing with myself, but also a lot of the women that I work with, is actually not the fear of failure, but the fear of success.
Exactly. Definitely, you're putting it so right. And that is the thing that most women, without knowing, they are most scared of, like actually succeeding with the things. And there can be so many, you can say, subconscious thoughts about this, like, is it rejection, people will not like me, or I don't like people who are successful. We have so many stories about success, and actually it doesn't really matter what other people's stories are. The only thing that's important is your own story. So before you become comfortable with, you can succeed, if you need to become comfortable with succeeding. You know, it's, when we put it that, it's so obvious, of course. But again, that's the same when you close your eyes and you see yourself having the success that some parts of you know you want, and you can just feel the flicker, like it feels as if you you almost cannot go there in your mind. Then you know, and that is where the friction comes, when you said the schizophrenic part, because some part of you knows that you want and can do this, and another part is just saying no. No. And that is super uncomfortable. And really, because you start like, who am I? Like, am I this voice or am I this voice? And you are both. But I'm like, if you have the feeling that you're meant for more, if you have the feeling that someone's big is waiting for you, it's because it's waiting for you. And the only one it's waiting for is you to start to work on yourself, your nervous system, regulation, success, failure, all these things you start to work with, and then it will come.
And I think that's so beautiful with your to follow and to witness on your manifestation challenge, because we did have a podcast with a woman talking about manifestation, and we already like said manifesting doesn't mean like, okay, I'm gonna wish for this and then the universe will take care of it and I'll just sit back and relax and it will just happen to me. And watching you go through this challenge, honestly, I sit there and sometimes I just have my tea in the morning and I look at your new reel and I'm just like, God, this woman's awesome, because you just put yourself out there and you're so in this, which is kind of like absurd, but I understand why people say it, in the world of social media where everything is so perfect, you're making yourself so vulnerable. And you inspire me through that challenge every day, not about the manifestation, but about just showing up as a human being that has a business, rather than like what in Germany, I don't know if this is like a thing where you guys are, but like always being the expert. And you're not allowed to like show that you might not be able to do something. And this manifestation experience that you're doing, holy fucking shit. Like, this is so cool to watch. I love that you, because you're doing it. You're doing everything you just said, you're doing it.
Yeah, and I'm really trying to show. And I think I had many ideas. This manifestation experiment is about, I want to manifest two things. I want to manifest 18,000 followers, which is on Instagram, which is crazy because I have 1,000 and I'm not a content creator. So, and the deadline is 1st of March. So yeah, but that is the first first manifestation. And the other one is creating this online platform for female entrepreneurs where they can come in, feel safe, feel seen, get the knowledge they need to build their business. So, and I had not thought that, I don't know why I started this. I know why I did it, but what is really important for me is to show the people who are following that failure is maybe it, maybe it's not. But also that it's not just something that I'm sitting down and wishing for and putting it out to the universe. I am also doing that, but I am also showing up for it every day, getting so much better at content creation, getting better at talking about it, regulating my own limiting beliefs, because the things that I'm teaching many women about money and their limiting beliefs, I actually have the same, but on Instagram. So I have to, you know, follow my own, my own teachings. But I would say that the thing you mentioned here, of course I have considered, okay, I am an expert on business and doing business. And suddenly there's an area where I am not an expert. And is that okay? But I'm like, I think it's worth it to show that no one is perfect and we all struggle with these things. And if I can be a mirror or a hope for someone, then it's better than I'm fine with the showing my vulnerability and maybe a huge failure, but at least then it's out there, you know, because I believe in manifestations and I really truly believe in it to the core, that if we know what we want, if we dare to dream about it, if we dare to work for it, and if we are okay looking at our shadows, our limiting beliefs, it will happen. Like, why shouldn't it? So, and this is what this experiment is showing, hopefully, to everyone.
Yes, it is.
That they can also do these things and fail and be, yeah, whatever.
But I think the biggest part about manifestation, which a lot of people don't realize or also want to get into, is that shadow part. And I think because manifestation, just like what, how I heard of it, learned about it, it's this like very light, very woo-woo kind of thing, and like how people portray it, right? It's gotten a completely different sense. It's like a lifestyle thing. And it's just like, going, being in your car, wishing for a parking spot being right in front of your door, and then it just like suddenly appears, you know. And then a lot of people are just like, well, maybe you weren't aligned with the universe. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's really what manifestation is about, if that's really it, because I do think it has a very practical sense as well. And I do believe in energy goes where energy flows, absolutely. But I also believe in that it takes a while because you can't just snip your fingers and be like, okay, my energy's going to
Nope, you
go there
can't.
now. I mean,
But
if
that
that
is,
would
oh,
work,
sorry.
that'd be amazing, right?
Exactly. But that is the way I see it, is that we are operating on frequencies, timelines. And now I'm listing them like this because they are layered on top, maybe a bit how you call it, metaphysical now, but that we are operating in different frequencies and different things are possible in different frequencies. So it's actually the frequency that you vibrate on where you suddenly see things, opportunities, because you open up different parts of your brain to see the things that you need to say yes to or that you are ready to work with. And in order to level up in the frequencies, you have to do the work on yourself. You have to treat yourself well. You have to eat well. You have to, or have to, but, and this is not about having to do something for someone. It's only about doing something for you to make this beautiful body a temple for leveling up in the frequencies where different things are possible. That's how I see it. So I can operate on different things, on different frequencies, and I can see that when I am in the frequency of possibility, of not comparison, but the opposite of comparison, where I'm fine with whatever, everyone can have success, in my opinion. Everyone, I wish every woman in the world the success that they need and want. So when I'm in this state, it's a different game. It really is. And when I'm then in the other another frequency, which is the lower vibration, as I call it, that is where I start to doubt and envy and compare and all these things, and it doesn't feel good in my body. And suddenly I can see how my brain shuts down. I don't see the possibilities. I see the fear. I see the doubt. I see all the things that could go wrong. It gets so analytical. And in the other one, and that is why these micro habits that we started to talking about, right? Doing small good things for yourself. For me, that is what helps me leveling up to the frequency because I'm showing myself that I'm worth these things. So
And I
that's
think
how
that's
I
like,
see it.
but that's not how I think a lot of people should see it. Because when I work with a lot of women, they're mostly in a job that they hate. And they hate it because they don't feel appreciated. They don't get the appreciation. They're kind of like selling their souls to everyone. And it's just like, why am I not getting the worthiness? Why am I not da da da? And it's also like, I think it's this like ping pong game of, well, do you think you're worthy? Because then you could also just like talk to your boss and talk about this topic. Or do you like not think, right? It's just like, it's this like, it has to go back and forth. It's not just a one-way street. And I think it's really, really easy to always like just put your finger on another person or in a situation and just be like, yeah, it's not working out because of this. Or the sentence I also love, which I obviously also have said in my life, is, yeah, it's just, that's just how it is, you know? And it's kind of like, done deal, that's it. And to catch yourself and being like, oh shit, like I'm repeating the story over and over again is actually not really helpful because it's just like burying myself deeper and deeper into it. So yeah, for me, I always call it like figure out your stories, and how do you want to change them? Because even though I am an actress, I always don't believe in the whole be the main character. For me, it's be the author. It's because it puts you into the seat of responsibility. And I think a lot of women, if we just look at like society and history, we do have a shit ton of responsibilities in our life. I mean, just look at the care system, like everything we have to do as mothers is ridiculous and it's not seen as a job or work or anything. It's just like, yeah, it's given. Or also like how some laws are still kind of like there that like the woman belongs to the husband and she's there to serve and everything, you know? So we do have a lot of responsibilities, but the problem is that because we haven't gotten acknowledged for them, we kind of just can't take them on fully and go into this like responsibility, this like story of taking on self responsibility. And I think it has to do a lot also with like the genes and DNA that's been passed on from centuries to centuries. We had a podcast about like witches and the witch hunting. And I think it has a lot to do still with that kind of the narratives that we grew up with, that as soon as we speak up or we stand up for ourselves, we say what we want out loud, not just to ourselves, it's like, oh my God, now somebody's gonna burn me. And it like I know this for myself. Like if I sometimes say, this is the goal I want to have, and it's like so far beyond, or if I say tell people, I feel like I could be Taylor Swift. That's like really putting myself out there. And sometimes this like fear or this emotion of almost like now I'm gonna get killed comes up. It's that extreme.
Yeah, I know.
It's
Yeah, but it
insane.
is, and it is, and that is also when whatever I'm working with, when we are going into, if it's money or if it's fame or if it's a successful business, the first thing is understanding where the fear comes from. And I spent quite short time on that. And then I say, okay. And then we move on, because you have to understand that this is a package that you come with, but you also have to let it go, because we can dive into the past forever, but that doesn't bring us forward. So what I'm always doing is I recognize where it comes from, I understand it, and then I point the finger at where's my responsibility? Where can I recognize myself? Do I recognize myself? Because that is the most important thing. It's not getting it from others, it's getting it from yourself. And then people are, I'm not being seen, I'm not being, but do you see yourself? So, and I think that is the most beautiful thing, and it's so empowering. In the beginning, it can be like, oh, it feels like another have to for women, or now I have one more burden. But the thing is, this is your release. Recognizing yourself for how great you are, if it's in motherhood, if it's in partnership, if it's in business, it is the most beautiful thing you can do. Seeing yourself for how amazing and unique, wildly sometimes crazy you are, and acknowledging this and loving it's so beautiful. So it always come back to us. We cannot expect to get things from the outside. Sometimes we do, but if we don't feel it from the inside, it will fade away again. We can take it in like a short rush, and then it will do nothing on the other side. So we need to point the fingers back at ourselves, or give ourselves the hug, or however we want to see it, and be like, but do I recognize myself? Do I recognize myself for all the good work, for getting the kids up to school every morning, for cleaning the things, so instead of being in this fight mode with a partner or with society, I would rather go in and give myself the love instead of fighting someone else, and then change it from there. Because when we love ourselves, we can start to set boundaries, and then we can say, no, I'm not doing this. This is a 50-50 job, or whatever it is, you know? But if we haven't pulled it back to ourselves first in compassion, it can be quite difficult to go out and set the real boundaries that need to be set.
How do you stay surprised? Like in the sense of, like we talked about like setting the micro habits, setting big goals, then shuffling them down. You're working with your nervous system, looking into the shadows, but not dwelling on them, taking on the responsibility. And I think this is also something that like really helped me understand is when I like set new goals for a year, no matter what they are, to not be completely fully strict with them so that like surprises can still happen, so that you kind of have like a, this is going to sound so weird, but this is the question, but that you have a plan, but it's vague enough to have surprises come in, but it's not vague enough so that you still have like clear goals.
It's not about the plan. The plan is not vague. The plan is the plan. What is the other part is life. And those two need to run together. Life is not a plan. You cannot plan life. You cannot plan if someone gets sick or die. You cannot plan the weather. There's so many things you cannot plan. Your mood. So you have a plan, and then you have life on the side. And those two, they run together. And sometimes life, it comes in and destroys the plan, and that's okay. And I think that is the problem, that we take the plan way too seriously. So I'm like, we have the plan, we follow the plan, but when life comes, we ditch the plan. And then we make a new plan, and it's not dangerous. And again, it feels like fear for people, or for women, not people, women, to miss out on their goals. And especially in the first years of on, some women didn't want to come to the calls because they were so afraid of telling me that they hadn't accomplished their goals. And I'm like, I don't care. You're not doing this for me. You're doing this for you. You know, you should be okay with it because you're trying and you're trying again and again. You're getting back up, and that is the best you can do. You know, So I think that that having the plan and then knowing that it can sometimes flop, and then you come back to it, and then it flops or you fail, and then you come back to it. But if you don't know the direction, if you don't know where you're going, it's quite difficult to take your life where you want to go, you know?
Yeah, so, totally.
And then life starts to run you only. So what I'm trying to do is I have the two streams. I have life, the part where it's uncontrollable, and then I have the controllable part, or controllable, again, in quotation, because it's not. And then they go like parallel. And that's okay. It's okay. I know from myself that it can feel horrible to look back and do the reviews and be like, okay, so this goal I didn't meet. But then instead of saying you're stupid or that's not bad, not good, then I say, why didn't you meet it? True. My child was sick for 3 days. Oh, true. I had to drive my father to the hospital on the day I had this meeting. That's why it didn't work out. You know, and then doing the review and seeing is also giving so much compassion and understanding for why it didn't work out. And sometimes it can also be, here I actually chose to see a movie instead of working on my goals. And then it could be like, was that a good decision? Yes or no? Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. So I just think that we should not be so afraid of having plans and not sticking to them. We should be afraid of not having plans. For me,
just, you know, free falling.
Yeah, but that's
But that's what I love about you as well, because you've come up with all these beautiful structures in your life, starting from setting up your desk in a, as I already said, Vogue way, where I get jealous every morning and I'm just like, okay, how can I copy this? I love your setup. Your desk setup is incredible. And it makes so much sense to me to set up your desk that it looks like a place you want to come to every morning. And it inspires you, but it also gives you space, because my desk is always like, because my desk is also my dining table at the moment. It's like always cluttered in all this horrible shit. And I always like have your Instagram pictures of your desk in my background, like in my head. I'm just always like, okay, Stina can do it, you can do it. So I just start cleaning it. But then you also have these beautiful things, you know, from just setting up your desk, setting yourself up to success, to dating your dreams, that beautiful date that you have on Sundays. God, I feel like a stalker here. It's just just like you do this on that day and you do that on that day.
I love it. You know the program.
But you've come up with all these beautiful rituals, I'm going to call them. I'm not going to call them routines, because for me, routines are like set things. But with ritual, there's always a certain awareness that comes to it. And what are like things that you would recommend to women at the beginning of the new year? How can they set themselves up for success? Maybe not just in a business sense, but like, especially if like a goal is like a business goal, you already said it, you have these like four categories, where there's also like private, spiritual, and everything. How would you recommend women to start to set themselves up for success?
Of course, first knowing what their heart beats for. I think that is the most beautiful thing. What does your heart beat for? Not what is coming from the outside, but what do you want? And then start with that. That little thing that what makes you happy. And then give it some time every day. So maybe starting your day, making a ritual about just thinking about this thing. It can be in a meditation. You can just be closing your eyes and thinking about this dream or this goal or this routine or whatever it is that makes you feel like comfortable. I think that is such a good way of easily tapping into an energy of niceness, which I think everyone would benefit from starting their day in this. What is it that I want in this life? Like, where is it that I want to go? And then there are, of course, all the different micro habits, and whether that be meditating before you start work. Like, I would also, maybe it's not a meditation, it can just be a check-in. It's like three breaths. We all have time for that. But just rushing into the day without having checked in with you, who are the most important part in your life, I think that is how can I say, the biggest gift you can give to yourself, actually, is that you are in the driver's seat. You are the most important thing. What do you want out of this day? So I think if people should start somewhere, it's starting with themselves. And that is the funny thing, in a way, when I have this program, it's so much about how do you, we think it's about goals, and it is, but it almost tends always to be, how can you be the nicest person to yourself? And what does that mean to you? Is it a nice desk with candlelights? You know, I always put candles.
Yeah,
I always have flowers. I put lipstick on. I do all these small things that makes me feel like a queen in my life. And I put a blazer on, even though I'm working from home every day. And just doing these small things that I love and that tells me every day I'm worth it. So when my husband like, why do you dress up? You don't have any meetings today. And I have a meeting with myself. Yeah. So I would really say, if you are not already focusing on you and your heart and your desire here in life, that is definitely where I would start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really
beautiful. I don't know if that was an answer to the question.
No, it was. It definitely was, because I think that is where the gold lies.
That's the ignition. That's the flame that we need. And it can start so small, and then it can build up to this fire that will really change things. But the fire will not happen if you haven't taken care of the little flame inside.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it starts with you.
That's like something that I really noticed also during pregnancy, because I've had like a lot of moms come up to me. And I mean, you know this, and a lot of people who've listened to the podcast know this as well. Like, this wasn't a planned pregnancy. So for me, it was just like, oh my fucking God, what's happening? Constantly. And a lot of other moms like told me how I'm supposed to feel and how everything's supposed to go, and why am I not doing this meditation and doing this workout and blah, blah, blah. And at one point I felt so guilty. I was like, oh my God, I'm not doing the things that you're supposed to do. And I'm already mistreating my baby and it's not even here yet. Like, how's it going to be when the baby's here? Like, I'm going to be the worst mom ever. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to be a great mom. But it's these things where I started or stopped listening to everything that came from the outside. Also in my business, like, people used to tell me, you should do it this way. Why aren't you doing it that way? People in your business, they always sell packages. Why aren't you selling packages? You should be blah, blah, blah. And I tried the things out, because I think it's also important to try things out and notice, okay, this works for me, this doesn't work for me. And then you kind of build a toolbox with, like, you know, a toolbox for life. And that changes as well. But I noticed a lot of the times I would think I would want something, but the feeling of wasn't really there. And when I would meditate or dance or something, all of a sudden, because like my energy flow and my body was moving, I was back with the feelings and not the thinking. And I would notice, okay, shit, what I thought I wanted is actually just something that was projected onto me from the outside, either through people or social media or
society,
how
upbringing.
To, exactly. But this, like what you are also describing as like the igniting the flame and like feeling what you want from your heart's core. I think that's what's also going to carry you, because that's just, it's like pulsing in you.
Exactly. And it's you.
Yeah.
You know, it is you. It's not something that comes and the things that are hiding inside. And I know that people can, but I don't know what it is. And I'm like, you will find out. If you're already asking this question, then you will find out. But sit with it. Give it time. And notice when it starts to tingle, or when you cannot not smile, you know, when suddenly you can see the mood goes up, then you know you're on the right path, you know.
Yeah.
Or think back to when you were a child. What gave you like the chills? What was fun? But if it's not yours, it will not last. And that is, I can see again and again when I work with women, they come with their things, and I can see when they say what they want, and I'm like, I can hear what you say, but I cannot feel what you're saying. And then I'm like, this is not the right thing for you. And sometimes it takes some time for them to, because it is things that they're carrying from upbringing, from society, ideas about how their life should look, and they have never listened to themselves, to the little flame. So, and that's why it's so exciting when you're like, no, Come back to your flame. Come back to your flame. And then it can start. And then, as we mentioned, from there, all the good things happen.
Yeah. And it's so funny to watch women, like also watching myself when I do these things, like how we sabotage ourselves. Because we're just like, I have a lot of women come in and they're like, I don't know what I want. Like, I kind of do, but I kind of don't. And then I truly believe everyone knows what they want. They just like, we need time to, like you said, drop in, feel it, sit with it. And when I say, well, I think you do actually know what you want, and you can feel it. It's so interesting what happens with every woman I've ever worked with. They go into like child behavior. The voice gets like really high, and then the body is like all squirmy. And it's like, really? Like, do you really think that's like possible? And I'm just like, what's happening? Like, where did this strong woman go go into that? Right. Yeah. Cute is a good word. And I was like, this is so, and I've done it myself. Like, don't get me wrong, right? Like, I'm also part of this, but it's so interesting. And I think it goes back to what we said at the beginning. It's just like this being seen, being heard, really trusting that you are worthy enough to have these successes, whatever they might be in your life. And that the goals you set aren't just goals, but they're actually something that's like deep inside of you.
Exactly. They're not just some outer things to achieve some recognition that you probably or me will never get, or at least you will get it, but it will not feel fulfilling until you are actually on your own path. And we can go on everyone else's path, but it will not feel good. So it's not until we come to our own and we start to like, okay, this is it. Now I'm starting to get, and there are trial and errors and ups and downs and failures and successes, and all these things are part of it. But we need to fall in love with the process. And that I think will be maybe one of the last things that I want to mention is that fall in love with the process. Because if we are only focusing on the goal out there, it's a split second. It's a cheap boom. And then we have to set new things. So if you don't love to learn the process of growing, of learning, failing, succeeding, all these small things on the way, it will be a short snip of happiness.
Yeah, for sure. So this episode is going to air on the 8th of January. You have the On project going on again. So if somebody says, okay, this was incredible, Stina is amazing, which you are, and this is like really speaking to me, is there still a possibility to join the On program?
Definitely. We start the day before it airs. So we start on the 7th, but it's recorded and everything is prepared and they can of course jump on. That is no problem at all.
Amazing.
So if someone is listening and they are like, okay, I would like to be clear on my goals, or I don't know what my dreams is yet, or I want something I'm meant for more, then the On program is a really good place to start.
And what if someone's already like, okay, I'm clear on my dreams, but this whole structure part is exactly what I needed. What are like different ways that women can reach out to you to work with you?
Yeah, there are, of course, again, On is also amazing for structure because this is like an accountability thing. You come back to it again and again in a calm setting and a group. But of course, also doing one-to-ones, if it's mindset things, I have one-to-one coachings. And if it is like a bigger thing where you have a business that you are stuck in and you're like, I'm ready for the next level, but I don't know which direction or where to start, then I have the big program called No Grow Your Business. So yeah, there are different ways, big and small, to work with.
I love it. I can only recommend it, honestly. Like, you're already on my to-do go list for next year.
Amazing.
So we have everything, obviously, in the show notes. If you want to reach out to Stina, we have everything in the notes. Thank you so, so much for kicking off this year with us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast and also starting the year with you. I love it. It's just this like energy that you have that I just like, I'm like, everyone needs to be part of this energy. They need to feel your energy.
2026, let's go, right?
Let's go.
This is a good year. Whatever that looks, it's a good year, you know?
Yes.
And it will look different for everyone, but this is your year. I am definitely sure about that.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.